Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the snow that has hit some parts of our region. Thank you we can gather here in the warmth of the physical building, and more importantly, with the warmth of the Holy Spirit and our fellowship. Bless us now as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Glad you're here. Who got the most snow? We got about 4 inches. Do we win? All right, just there's a basket in back for the winner. I think, did we get some rain, George? And then it turned to snow up on Mount Divide. All right, so last week we had started the eighth commandment, you shall never steal. We looked at some of the casuistic fancy word for the case or civil law that was given to Israel as a theocracy, as a nation. And so we looked at some of those principles really relevant for today. Today, now we're looking in what the New Testament says. But one of the comments I made, that all these commandments in the Big Ten, there's a lot of interaction. And elsewhere, James, for example, Galatians, we're going to get it in a few chapters, says that, you know, well, I kept, you know, 9 of the 10 commandments. But they say if you break one of the commandments, you have broken them all. And so there is an interaction among them, but also spiritually, the purpose is not for us to be proud of how good we are, but to show us how, apart from God's grace, that's the sermon for Galatians, apart from God's grace, we can't keep his law to be good enough to go to heaven. So one of them, the interaction among the commandments. I just this morning, as I was reading Proverbs 30, you guys probably have heard this or remember this in Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. 2 things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood, you know, that'll be next week, lying, and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me. Verse 9, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So be poor, stealing, you know, we're wanting more and we steal, and that leads to profaning. That's commandment 2. Or 4, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So a connection between wanting stuff, we end up stealing. Well, it goes much deeper because we are neglecting or rejecting ultimately who God is and what he has done. We'll finish off today with that. Okay, we're going to get through a bunch of quick verses easily. Actually, Calvin, Matthew 19, Janet, Romans 2, Georgia, she's gone. All right, Scott, Romans 13, Lauren, 1 Corinthians 6, Julie, Ephesians 4, Debbie didn't bring her Bible today. So I won't call on you, Debbie. Pam, Titus 2. Debbie, 1 Peter 4. Let's see. Peg, could I ask you to 2 Thessalonians 3? Debbie, 1 Timothy 5. All right, so did I get you all into the proper? The other one, the one that brought her Bible. Did you bring a Bible? DB, Debbie Bible, not DNB, Debbie, no Bible. All right, so we had Matthew 19. Okay, 16 to 26. Yeah.
The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
All right, you get that? So Jesus reaffirming the law, do not steal, but then goes on and really the heart, no pun in the matter, was to this rich young ruler, okay, well, I've kept all those, that checklist. And Jesus, you know, knowing his heart, says, okay, then fine, sell all your money and give it to the poor. That showed really what he thought about the necessity of money, where his trust really was. Who had Romans 2? Janet, Romans 2, 21. Okay, so just simple, you know, you do not steal, but do you steal? Well, we're going to see how we all probably break this commandment. Who has Romans 13? 8 through 10. Okay, so you get that, though, you know, you shall not steal. Well, it's not just physical stealing. Owe no man, do good to them, love your neighbor. So there's a deeper principle than, well, technically I didn't steal, physically steal anything. It goes beyond that. It's a matter of the heart. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. All right, so that's, we've looked at that. That's a list that covers a lot of ground. But thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, but thieves. So that's one of the no-nos. Who has Ephesians 4? Julie, verse 28. All right, so, you know, and I'm just emphasizing the New Testament reasserts, do not steal, but work the positive aspect. Work so that you can do good with your money. Who has Titus 2? Pam, verses 9 and 10.
Showing all good faith that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect.
All right, first of all, those of you that have had a business, don't you wish your employees knew those verses, Tom? But the idea of pilfering, we'll talk about that. That's theft, one of the forms of theft. Who has 1 Peter 4? DNB, okay. 1 Peter 4, 15 and 16. All right, so the idea there is if you're a thief or a murderer and you know, I'm suffering, I'm in prison, I'm suffering. No, you're getting what you deserve. But the idea of that verse is, but as a Christian, suffering as a Christian, there's a cost to being a Christian. That'll come up in Galatians a little later. No, but we'll talk about that kind of stuff. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3. That sounds like George's. Who had 2 Thessalonians 3? Well, I'm giving George. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 to 15. All right, so get the gist there. That goes beyond, first of all, the pastors meddling, and living off people, lousy pastors. Throw the bums out. But the idea of hard work, don't you employers wish your employees heard this? And not working hard, not putting in a day's work for a day's wage, that's a form of theft too. All right, who had 1 Timothy 5? Debbie B. 1 Timothy 5, 18.
For the scripture says, you shall not let on ox while it is
turning out the grain. All right, so that goes back to the Old Testament. An ox is, you take care of the ox who is doing work for you. Well, the bigger principle is, you take care of employees in this case. And so here's an example. I know none of you would do this, but you're at a restaurant and you guys are never demanding, but a very demanding table. And so the waitress is really humping to take care of you and doing a hard job. I'm sorry, the server is, I'm going to take care of you today. Okay, but they are really working hard. And so then at the end of the table, do not be the Christian that instead of leaving a tip, leaves them a Bible tract. That's almost like, if your car gets keyed because you're an obnoxious, I saw the way you drove here, and then, I get to the parking lot behind you and you have a Jesus Fish sticker on the back. Okay. I always, you know, my mind is nuts. You know that. So I get in an accident and I, you know, and it's my fault, you know, and so I rear end a guy with the Jesus fish, you know, and, you know, I hit them and they get out of the car and they are just angry and cursing up a storm and everything. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry, I'm at fault. And you tell your friend, I'm sorry about his car. What the blankety blank do you mean? That's my car. Oh, I saw the Jesus fish and I assumed that I had run into a Christian. That's just me being dumb. All right, here's a new one. Bill, would you mind looking up Matthew 5? And then Sharon, actually, would you look up Luke 4? You ready? Matthew 5:3. This is the Sermon on the Mount.
Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn.
That's good. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Who has Luke 4, Sharon, 18, verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim relief to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden.
All right, so that was Jesus in the synagogue. He was asked to read that part of Isaiah, I believe that was. And he goes and he, you know, he says, basically, that's about me. The coming Messiah, God's concern for the poor, which has the deeper meaning of lost people, poor, they need a savior. But God, throughout the Old Testament, is very concerned about taking care of the poor, the weak, the widows, the orphans. That's why sometimes you will hear, and you probably all heard sermons by names you would know of, liberal theologians will say that, you know, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? And they will go immediately to, you know, one verse in Ezekiel talking about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was really because they didn't take care of the okay, that was a symptom. It was a wicked city, but there's more to sodomy, Sodom than that. But that's, you know, it's not the sexual actions. We're not, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. It's the lack of welfare. You know, they weren't being taken care of the way you rich people should be giving your money to the poor. So a little of my own commentary there, sorry. All right, a few other illustrations. You know the story in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, and so that's a story about here's poor with a good spirit, the rich man who had lived selfishly, and what was, you know, that was a reflection of their heart, ultimately, that was then sending them to different Abraham's bosom in one case and Hades in another case. So poor in spirit, the poor are not, you know, and we'll look at a few, you know, the poor always aren't sweet, innocent little victims. You know, that's not what the Bible's saying. And rich people are not all wicked. But if money becomes an object where basically theft, stealing, we'll look at some other ways we can do that that you might not have thought about. You know, that can, they often go hand in hand in the Bible. So, the rich fool in Luke 12, you know, look how successful I have been. I will build a bigger barn. I will, you know, I will do all this you know, and I will store up all my wealth that I did with my own hands. You know, me. And I will take it easy. And Jesus in that parable said, you fool, today your soul is required of you. So where was your ultimate, you know, what was of ultimate worth in your life? And then we already looked at the rich young ruler whose heart was really ensnared by physical wealth. So any comments or questions at this point? Debbie, yes, ma'am.
Fornication and from whatever has been strangled from blood. I just thought those were fornication of the ten was the only thing, and then the other two really weren't. How would that direct the Gentile believers in living a life that imitated Jesus?
That is a great question. You have your Bible, so you must have used your Bible to ask that question. That's a great question. There's a great answer, but that's not stealing today. But actually, Galatians, that's going to come up with the idea of faith versus the Judaizers who were requiring circumcision. So the big formal council was Acts 15. In Galatians, we are still before that, where Paul ends up going to that, and they make that formal recognition, you know, works, circumcision, not required for salvation, but there are some things that Gentiles can do so as we are not socially fellowship, so offending Jews like blood, big things like fornication, idolatry. You know, all Jews thought, oh, us filthy goyim, that's the Hebrew word for Gentile, all us filthy goyim were a bunch of idolaters. And that was part of what the problem in Galatians is. You need to clean up your lives. You get circumcised, keep the laws of Moses in order to be Christians. And Paul says, may it never be. And here are some things that will help in those regards. So great question. Huge topic, not really having anything to do with. But I'm glad you used a Bible. Any other comments, questions? All right. So also then some truths just that come out of the scripture, you know, as a whole. The value of, during the Reformation, the value of the so-called Protestant work ethic. You ever heard that term? And we talked a little bit about capitalism. You know, not big C, it's the only way. It's a religion. But the Bible does encourage private ownership with the understanding God owns it all. I'm just the steward of what he has entrusted me with. But that's why you don't steal it, because you're not really ultimately just stealing from me, you're stealing from God. And so the Protestant work ethic, and we as Christians should be producers, not consumers, you know, givers, not takers. So there's just that, you know, sometimes, and actually getting back to Maryland's companies, and I can name some, you've probably seen the commercials. They advertise, we are Christians. They put it in their logo, the Jesus fish. And that's great. And I would like to, if you're a good roofer, I would roofer. Sorry, I gave it away. Shame on me. I all things equal, I would rather go to a Christian doctor than a non-Christian. But I'm not going to go to a Christian doctor just because you're a Christian. If you're a hack, you know, I want a good doctor. And so the idea of playing off of this standing, we should be the most diligent workers. We should be the best employees. We should be the kindest employers. So all that goes to this lifestyle of not taking, but being givers and recognizing God has blessed all of us with finances, material wealth. And what do we do with that? You know, and so being able to support missionaries, doing God's work, you might say. You've all heard sermons that, you know, pastors will say, you give me your checkbook and I'll tell you what's important to you. You know, so, and there's some truth to that. So instead of, and I think DNB, no Bible, but you've got Ryken. It might have, no, this might have been Gerard's book. The phrase, everybody's working for the weekend. You know, nowadays in our culture, you know, we, you know, I put up with my job so that I can live it up on the weekend. Well, that's we Christians, you know, our calling, as Martin Luther would say, if you're a milkmaid, be the best milkmaid ever for the glory of God. It's a vocation, a calling, not just a job where I have to hold my nose to get money so then I can go do what I, you know, be a consumer on the weekend. So, and then Georgia, Matthew 6. So what then is the ultimate stealing, we will say? You know, so all this points to something much bigger than just physically taking a TV set, although nowadays TV sets are not worth. And I might as well tell you now, but in Gerard's book, their house when he was married to Roberta was vandalized or stole, you know, a thief came in and stole some things, but he doesn't have a lot of valuable stuff. And, you know, and TVs, you know, thieves used to steal TVs. Well, now you can pick up a TV at Walmart for $400 and get the 75-inch whatever model. But when Gerard and Roberta, the thieves stole some stuff, but she didn't steal any, the thief, he did not steal any of Roberta's jewelry. And Roberta was mad. My jewelry is so worthless, they didn't even want to steal it. Maybe that says more about Gerard and his gifts. But Georgia, Matthew 6, 24. Okay, so there's sort of a dichotomy, you know, that mammon, filthy lucre, as the King James so eloquently puts it, but are your eyes on the material or are you serving God? So that's the ultimate stealing, would be stealing God's glory for stuff. All right, so what? I'm just going to quickly read through these, and yeah, wave if you have a comment or a question about any of these. But yes, Debbie.
Everybody misquotes the Bible when they say money is the root of all evil, and it that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all.
No, it doesn't. If you had your Bible, you'd know that. But we're getting to that. You are very close, because it is the love of money is a root. There is no definite article. We'll cover that, but you're back in the good graces a little. Just bring your Bible next time. Sorry, I'm going to out you. She was telling me about all these books. She has Gerard's books. She has some really good books in her library, and I commend that. And she's telling me, and I brought this book and this book and this book, but I forgot my Bible. The book, definite article, the book, not a book. Okay, so some applications. What are some ways you can steal? Materialism, greed, miserliness. You know, when it came to in the Old Testament, offerings, you only offered the best of your flock. You didn't give second best to the offering in the temple back then. The woman who was anointing Jesus' feet with oil, you know, and the church treasurer was getting all upset. That money could have been sold to feed the poor. Okay, that's your savior. You're giving your best to the savior. So dishonest stewardship. In other words, God has entrusted us. Is it really his wealth or is it my wealth? Am I glorifying him with the wealth he has entrusted me with? Or am I glorifying myself? Usury laws, loans in the Old Testament really covered those. But today, interest rates, especially credit cards type of thing where, you know, people maybe have bad credit, banks will take advantage of that. And so, and then we as Christians, are we requiring exorbitant interest, you know, in our dealings with others? Vows and pilfering. We talked about that word. I like that. You know, that's sort of the employee that borrows, you know, borrows stuff. And Scott, this used to really annoy me. Remember those black government pens that, you know, that we wore in our flight suits? They were the perfect U.S. government on them. I'm appropriating that for my use. I mean, to use it on the job, sure, but those things got stolen all the time. How many of you lousy employees stole a paperclip once? It's just a paperclip, okay? You know, the Army is notorious for this. Although Lee, I wouldn't mess with Lee. He could kill you five ways with a paperclip. Making vows, you know, this. Sometimes you'll see this in capital campaigns. Maybe you've experienced this, and I have some stories that I won't tell to protect the guilty. But, you know, we're making pledges to raise money to build our building. Well, I pledge $5 million. You know, boy, look at me. I get all the kudos for that promise. And then when it comes time to pay those pledges, those vows, here's a handful of change, you know, type of thing. So that's before God, that's, you know, could be stealing. Wages. In fact, Georgia, James 5. But employers paying good wages. Now that doesn't mean if I'm a, you know, all I do is bare minimum, you know, work, and I can't live on that. Well, you're not supposed to live on that. I need $50 an hour to, you know, do whatever. That's the other extreme. That's not good. But paying a fair wage for the job being performed. James 5, 1 through 6.
You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led life on wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. You have not resisted.
All right, so there's just, you know, paying wages, not, you know, go and come back, I'll pay you tomorrow. No, they perform the work. They need the money to feed their kids. You pay them the proper wage, what you promised them, at the time the services are rendered. And just a note, when we sing the best hymn ever, which is, where Luther says, Lord, we always Sabaoth, Lord Sabaoth. That is the Hebrew / Aramaic term for Lord of hosts. So that is not Lord of the Sabbath, that's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the army. I mean, that's a, sort of a military God as commanding general. I mean, that's that'll get you going. Can I get an amen, army guy? Amen. All right, another area of welfare. There's in Exodus 22, we won't read the whole chapter, but a lot of examples of taking advantage of the poor. That was a major concern of Israel and Israel's God. So, you know, not abusing the poor just because they're poor. But then on the positive side, Leviticus 23 talks about reaping the corners of your field. What in the world? Do not reap the corners of your field. That's for Ruth, you know, the Moabites, but for the poor to go out. It was a form of welfare where, you know, I don't need all the grain in my barns. I'm going to leave some for folks that need to come out and harvest it by hand. So, oppression. Proverbs 22 talks about, once again, the word for oppression. If you remember last week, one of the Hebrew words for actual robbery by force, it can also be used for oppression. Do not take advantage of the poor. Even we can think of today, you know, and the rich, they have the best lawyers, so they might be able to get off, you know, when they should be guilty. The poor are oppressed because they can't afford to maybe defend themselves properly. Here's one that, you know, I know this is true, but it's not the God it's become in the media. Environmental stewardship. We are not stealing resources from the planet that God gave us dominion over to be good stewards, not raping and pillaging the land. Things like libel, slander, gossip, where we are stealing reputations. Things like fraud, you know, we call them so-called white-collar crimes. Things like dishonest bankers, investing, you know, the investment guys that, you know, I promise you a 500% return if you just invest. Credit cards, talked about that. Phishing scams, you know, the internet. And just this morning, I will confess to you, I probably, not that I'm phishing, sorry, that's P-H-I-S, phishing, you know, the credit card. I have a pretty high tolerance for sin. Yeah, that sounds wrong. No, I understand how bad sin is. And so I expect pagans to be pagans. But you want to get me viscerally mad, where I get angry, and Georgia, you can maybe testify to this, is when you take advantage of the elderly or children. You know, the abuse of children, sexual abuse, whatever. Or taking advantage of, you know, elderly that have saved up their entire life. And then some slick computer guy comes along and steals their money or whatever. Today I saw one. And if you got this, don't open it. But it's your Google pictures are about to be deleted. You know, like if you were storing online, you know, and so grandma, all my pictures of little grandbaby, oh, I need to go and save that. You know, and you pay us, for a fee, we will make sure that all your pictures don't get deleted. Okay, and then older folks and idiots like me, we fall for that because, you know, not realizing that, first of all, I don't have any pictures on Google. But I'm, you know, little Rowan's been staying with us. You know, I might be tempted to, you know, to go and, you know, please take care of this. I don't want to lose those pictures. How many of you remember sweet little Charlie Reddick? Remember him? And you remember the story. He got a phone call from his grandson. Sounded just like him. Stuck in a Mexican prison. And if you will, Western Union, $500 cash, you know, they'll let me out of prison. And Charlie, he was on his way to Western Union to, you know, to get that money for the scam. So, but you want to get me viscerally mad. I'm a nice guy, but you want to get me viscerally angry. Take advantage. Yes, ma'am. Wow. And once again, see, I expect that from pagans. And so it's easy for us to say, yeah, what about them? But that is stealing. And we, you know, it's easy to say, what about, yeah, look at them. What about us? You know, hopefully none of us are running phone scams. But, you know, that. Loan default. I have won't mention his name, but a friend, he was a Coast Guard pilot from flight school. And he was, maybe he got hired by the airlines. He bought a house in California. First mistake. Where then all of a sudden, the value and the property taxes started going up. And all of a sudden, you know, where loans are upside down, he owed more money than the house was now worth, maybe. And so his answer was just walk away from the loan. You know, it's cheaper for him just to default on the loan and walk away and make the bank repossess his house. You know, so the bank's involved there, but, you know, paying your loan. You know, so little things like that. Tax fraud. Are all your taxes done? You know, and that's very easy to, yeah, I've got a teenage boy. I get to deduct him. I wish I could deduct him. Insurance claims. You know, that's an easy one where, you know, that your something happens to your house or you let me. Yeah, here's a story. Yeah, I told you about how we flooded our house in Nebraska. Our puppy had broken a hose loose on the side of the house. We had gone away for the Sunday afternoon for Mother's Day. I think George said September. And so when we got back, the house had been filling up with water this whole time. And, you know, the kids loved it. They were paddling around indoor swimming pool, and we had good insurance that took care and, you know, fixed what needed to be fixed. But then joking, it was a joke. And I said, because I was like, nice new basement, you know, the responsibly fixing what needed to be fixed, you know, dry rot or mold or all the stuff they panic about. And so I, kidding, I said, we need to teach the dog how to use matches on the second floor to get some renovations done. Janet, here's plagiary. That's stealing. Janet is very familiar with that. Not that she's doing it, but having to watch out for her students. Baylor kids are nasty. Embezzlement. Okay, so just some white, quote unquote, white collar crimes. Okay, now here's one we can all say harumph. Government. Stealing. Taxes. Inflation. That is harumph. Inflation is a silent tax that is stealing the value of your money. Social Security. You know, that's the third rail of politics. I mean, the government needs to honor its debts. It signed up for a stupid program, but they need to honor those of us who have paid into it. But that is really nothing more than a legal Ponzi scheme. You understand that, don't you? And that's, you know, your Social Security number gets stolen and faulty claims. A new one is that I've seen commercials for is title insurance. People can somehow get a hold of your, you know, take control of your house title and sell your house out from underneath you. You know, that's things like redistributive, big word, welfare. In other words, taking money from some to give it to others, you know, maybe not because they truly need it, but because it buys votes. And first of all, I know you've all been to the Constitution class, that is not one of the enumerated powers of the federal government. So, yeah. Sticky fingers. Sales companies, price gouging, unjust scales. You remember the Norman Rockwell picture of the butcher with the meat, and he's got his finger, he's sort of on the scale, and the lady's smiling because she's got her finger on the scale. Counterfeiting. Don, shut down your counterfeiting operation. Merchandising, or as what's his name, Mel Brooks would say, moistandizing, you know, where you're trying to just sell anything that will appeal to folks that, you know, that's, well, if you're dumb enough to buy it, it's your fault. But, you know, that's a way to, it's almost like a tax on the stupid. You know, you're buying, I really didn't need that electric dog polisher. Monopolies. And that's a, you know, from our history, the quote unquote robber barons. And yes, there were some abuse. Did any of you ever read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair? Okay, a lot of that was bad, but actually I have a good book. The myth of the robber barons, where actually, you read that? Yeah. All right, so we're running a little late, sorry here. Laziness, waste, we've talked about that. All forms of stealing. I have a great, Kelvin, you have Luther's quote, you can read it for yourself. We need to land this plane. God owns everything. It is his to give and take away. Okay? Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when we don't trust God, his provision, we don't think God will provide to his people, we might be inclined to steal. Or we abuse his providence, what he has given. That's not enough, God. I want some of his stuff. So that ultimately goes to trusting God. And the problem, like DNB said, 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So coveting, wanting things, can cause not only stealing, but next week we'll talk about lying, or lying, bearing false witness, and then coveting. And the solution then, you know, just the great commandment: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we are so content in God, that's going to take away a lot of that urge to physically steal or any of those other things we've talked about. Sorry we got a little fast there at the end. Any final comments?
Another thing that you can feel is time. Like when you're at work and the boss is trying to goof around and you're not giving it your all, you're actually stealing something.
Very good. Yeah, stealing time. You know, how many of military, how many of us, and I did this, checking personal stuff on government computers, playing solitaire on a government computer when I should be working. So, any other comments? Well, thank you for attention. Sorry we were a little late. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, help us as your children to be content in you and to be examples of how not to physically steal or to take away your glory in how we act in our daily lives. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.